Pro Savings Days are on at Lowe's. Get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, My Lowe's Pro Rewards members get an additional 5% off when you buy 5 or more select GE, Whirlpool, and Electrolux kitchen or laundry major appliances. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 123. Discount valid to My Lowe's Pro Rewards members only. Exclusions and other restrictions apply. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See associate or Lowe's.com for details. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
It's the dictionary.
Hello, word nerds, and welcome to the dictionary. You can maybe tell my voice is a bit lower because I did not get a lot of sleep last night, and I am very, very tired. But we gotta record. We must record. Let's just lean into this deep voice thing, which will probably warm up into something like this later. It's late. I'm late. What? It's everything is late. I'm tired because we had a late night. We went to see Scream 2 last night at the Music Box in Chicago, but it wasn't just the film. Oh no, they had to go crazy with it. And they basically, the movie starts in a movie theater. The first scene is in a movie theater, and so they wanted to reenact the first scene in the movie theater that we were in, and they had actors, you know, not saying words, but moving around in the different places and acting out the actions and everything. And it broke my brain, the extra meta-ness, because that movie's already very meta. The meta-ness of being in a movie theater watching all this happen at the same time that they're in a movie theater watching the stuff happen on this. It was crazy and really fun. And the energy was palpable. Lots of screaming and yelling during that one. Okay, hey, let's talk about these words today. This is F7. I think this is F7. We're going to get up to about F250 in this season of the dictionary. The first word in this episode is the first form of the word factor. F-A-C-T-O-R. Noun from the 15th century. Number one, one who acts or transacts business for another. So you're doing business for somebody else, for something else. As 1A, the synonym is the 1B definition for the word broker. And I hear broker all the time. All the time I hear this word. And I don't fully understand what it is, but I guess it's just somebody who's doing business for somebody else. You're like, here's my money. Please go do something with it. And the broker factor is like, yeah, I will take your money and I will do something with it, but I'm going to have to take a cut off the top because that's how I got to make my money. 1B, one that lends money to producers and dealers as on the security of accounts receivable. This is somebody giving money to people to do stuff with it, I guess. Sure. Okay. 2A, one that actively contributes to the production of a result, and the synonym is ingredient, right? Okay, it's a factor, it's a portion of a thing that is contributing to, maybe if you're putting on a play, you got all the people, the director, the actors, the writers, the producers, the crew who are building sets, doing the sound, doing the lighting, doing all the stuff. There's so many people who are putting this thing together. They're actively contributing to the whole product. They are an ingredient, a factor, as in the example. Price wasn't a factor in the decision. Again, it's so weird when they use examples that are negative. Price wasn't. It was not a part. It was not an ingredient in making the decision. Okay. 2A2. We got more. 2A2. A substance that functions in or promotes the function of a particular physiological process or bodily system. It functions in a particular physiological process. Now, there is an example, but, you know, if we're talking physiological processes or bodily systems, you got a whole system here from, you know, your teeth, your tongue, your saliva, esophagus, stomach, intestines, the big one and the little one. That's what they're called, right? The big intestine and the little one. The giant intestine, the tiniest of intestines, the tiny intestine? No. The colon, right? That's your digest. So every one of those is a factor. Now, I don't know if that's literally, you know, based on the definition, I don't know if that's what they're talking about. But there's also, you know, enzymes in blood and oxygen and hormones and all these other pieces that make your body run so efficiently. They're all factors. 2B. A good or service used in the process of production. Maybe you're making a car and there's lots of pieces and people doing services to make that car, to create it, make the tires, put all the pieces together, make the batteries, the motor, all those sorts of things. There was a song, was it a Moxie Fruvis song? He was talking about taking pieces off of a, or maybe was it, was there, no. There, I feel like there's a couple of songs maybe like this. Maybe there's a Johnny Cash song or some old song about somebody taking pieces off of a factory car line and putting all, it's a factory, maybe that's where the word came from, all the factors coming together in a factory. We're going to talk about that word soon. Anyway, I just got off on a tangent about making cars. Number three, the synonym is gene, G-E-N-E, not Eugene, not Gene from Bob's Burgers. These are the genes that make up your body. These are the things that are the first causes that create the effect of you and your life. They are a factor in making who you are. You need to give genes respect. 4A, oh, this is a big one. Any of the numbers or symbols in mathematics that when multiplied together form a product. But also a number or symbol that divides another number or symbol. Any of the numbers or symbols in mathematics that when multiplied together form a product. Well, you know, when you multiply things together, are you factoring them or they are factors in a thing? I wish that I dealt with math terminology more frequently or more late in life so I could remember all this stuff. But when you make a product, the product is when you multiply two things together. The product is what happens from that after the multiplication. But it's also symbols. So like, I guess X and Y, right? Those would be the factors. Now, this does lead us to some other math-related words in the rest of this episode. When you factor something out, like if you factor 6, you get 2 and 3, or 1 and 6. But like specifically, let's talk about 2 and 3. 2 and 3 are the factors when you factor 6, or whatever the term is, and those are the two numbers that, when multiplied together, make 6. Did I do my math right? Yeah, I think so. 2 times 3 is 6. So now we have 4B, which is a quantity by which a given quantity is multiplied or divided in order to indicate a difference in measurement, as in costs increased by a factor of 10. Do we need to read that definition again? A quantity by which a given quantity is multiplied or divided in order to indicate a difference in measurement. I guess it's interesting. I never would have thought it was multiplied or divided. Oh no, I guess that makes sense. If the sun, if a million Earths can fit in the sun, then the sun is the size of Earth by a factor, is larger than Earth by a factor of 1 million, right? Give or take ish, maybe 1,999,999, give or take. But if you go the other way, the Earth is smaller than the sun by a factor of 1 million. I believe that that would be the right way. So, you know, factor of 10. This thing is 10 times bigger, 10 times heavier. That's by a factor of 10. Because you're multiplying it, the original thing, by 10, or dividing the thing by 10 to get the size, or whatever it is, by the other thing. It's well past aired by the time this episode is airing, but there's this giant friggin' dictionary that I got from 1946, and the volume of that book, I figured out, is it's larger than my dictionary by a factor of, like, I think 3.77. That's a big difference right there. Yes, it is. Factorship is a noun. Let's see. Okay, the etymology says this is from Latin factor, spelled the same way, which means doer, which is from the Latin verb facere, which means to make or to do. And that is it for the word factor, except I now need to make a sound effect. We now have the second form of factor. We're not done with this word. This is a verb from 1621, starting with intransitive, which is just to work as a factor. It's the action of factoring by factors. Transitive number one, to resolve into factors. Yep, this is where you take the six and you're breaking it down into all the numbers that can be multiplied together to create six. 27. What are the factors? When you factor 27, you are breaking it down to 1, 3, is it 9? Because 3 times 9 is 27, and then 27. But are there any more? I don't think there are. I think that's everything. I don't think it, not 4, not 5, not 6, not 7, not 8. Nope, that's it. That's it. We factored 27. 2A, to include or admit as a factor, and this is used with the words in or into, as in the example, factor inflation into our calculations. We have to include it. We have to bring it in to the family of other ingredients when we are trying to do some calculations. You cannot forget about the number two when you are doing your calculations. You must factor it into your calculations. 2B is to exclude as a factor. What? This is used with the word out. Factor out a thing. So you're removing this ingredient. Why would you want to do that? Sometimes you gotta say, well, we don't want to factor that into our calculations because that's going to mess everything up. We only want these calculations. We only want these factors. Let's factor it out. Sure. Let's see. Factorable is an adjective. Can it be factored in or out or whatever? It's factorable. Next is factorage with an A-G-E, noun from 1613. Number one, the charges made by a factor for services. The charges made by a factor for services. So if you are charging to fix a car, let's go back to cars for some reason, even though I don't know crap about cars. If you are, you have the service of servicing a car, doing the oil change, then when you are charging for those services, that's a factorage, I guess. Because it's the charges made by a factor for services. Number two, the business of a factor. The business of a factor is the factorage. It's all about money and stuff. Factor analysis, two words, noun from 1931. The analytical process of transforming statistical data as measurements into linear combinations of usually independent variables. And factor analytic is an adjective. So what is this? The analytical process of transforming statistical data into linear combinations of usually... It's kind of like the idea of breaking it into its pieces, right? It's ingredients, it's factors. You're analyzing the data in some way. I don't know. I don't do this. I can't give you more information. That is factor analysis. Thank you. Okay. Next is, I think, yes, factor eight. But it's, well, it is two words, but eight is not spelled like eight. It is Roman numerals, VIII, all caps. Don't know why they use the Roman numerals here. Let's see if the definition will help us to understand that. This is a noun from 1954, factor eight. A glycoprotein, A glycoprotein clotting factor of blood plasma that is essential for blood clotting and is absent or inactive in hemophilia. And this is called also antihemophilic factor. It doesn't say why we got the number eight or why it's Roman numerals. I don't know. It's a clotting factor of blood plasma that is essential for blood clotting. And now, so I guess that's because it's a glycoprotein clotting factor makes me think that it's just one part of that physiological stuff. Is it a thing inside the blood that helps it to clot? And when you have hemophilia, you don't have factor eight. Hemophilia is where, you know, if you don't have this factor eight, you're not going to clot your blood so well. And so then hemophilia is where you just bleed a lot. Your body is afraid of the blood, the hemo stuff. And so you're just going to keep on bleeding until you can figure out a fix to that. So factor eight. Yep. I wish I knew why it was eight and why it was Roman numerals. That's all I care about. No, the bad sound. Hee-haw. Okay. Factor group, two words, noun from 1897. The synonym is quotient group. And that's all we can tell you about today. Same sound. Factorial, first form, adjective from 1837, of, relating to, or being a factor or a factorial. Is this when you're factoring out the numbers? Of relating or being a factor or a factorial is a factorial. You could describe it as factorial because it is an adjective. Okay. The second form of factorial is a noun from 1869. Number one, the product of all the positive integers from 1 to n. And this uses the symbol exclamation mark. So the example is n exclamation mark. You can put any number in that n spot. Where that n is, it stands for number, just any number you want. They got to be positive, I guess. Didn't realize that. Or maybe I did and I forgot. So basically, if you don't know what this is if you see a number with an exclamation mark in a mathematical formula situation, if you're just in one of those situations, what you do is you multiply that number by the next number in line going down to one. So let's do a simple example. If it's 3 factorial, you multiply 3 times 2, which is 6, and then you multiply that by 1, because that's the next number descending to 1, and then 6 times 1 is just 6, so 3 factorial is 6, right? I think so. Should we go to the handy-dandy Google that has all of the information that we will ever need, and the computer is telling us what to do? Let's see. I'm going to type in 3 factorial. Yep, it says 6. Now, what happens if I go to the Google and I just type 3 exclamation mark? Will it still know that I mean factorial? It does. Good job. Good job, Google. Should we find out what's a crazy number? A crazy number. Let's just pick something simple-ish. 9 factorial. 362,880. That is a big number because you're multiplying it by so many other numbers. Factorial, it's the product of all positive integers from 1 to the number. Number two for factorial second form, the quantity 0 factorial, it shows that, arbitrarily defined as equal to 1. This is getting into some heady math stuff. The quantity 0 factorial arbitrarily defined as equal to 1. So are they saying that 0 factorial is just 1? When you bring 0 into math, it really messes things up. No, I don't like this sound. I'm just going to go... The next word is factorization. This is a noun from 1886. The operation of resolving a quantity into factors, like when we broke 6 or 27 into 1, 3, 9, 27, or 6 into 1, 2, 3, 6. But also a product obtained by factorization. So when you are breaking up that number into the numbers that create that original number by multiplying them, that is the act of factorization. But then I guess, now I don't understand this, the second part, a product obtained by factorization. Would the original number be the factorization? I don't fully understand that part of it. Factorize is a transitive verb. Ooh, I woke up this morning and I felt like I needed to go factorize. Gotta do some factorizing today. Next is factory. Here we go. What's a factory? It's made up of factors. Noun from 1582. Number one, a station where factors reside and trade, as in a colonial factory. Now, I don't know what these, where factories reside and trade. They're just hanging out, trading goods and services, massages for coonskin caps. A factory. A colonial factory. I don't understand what that is. Specific kinds of factors are there. 2A. A building or set of buildings with facilities for manufacturing. The whole, all the buildings, all the stuff with when they got everything to make, to manufacture things, that's the factory. 2B. The seat of some kind of production. The example is the vice factories of the slums. This seems metaphorical. The seat of some kind of production. So this is where something is happening, where something is made. That's a factory. Doesn't have to be an actual building with tools and stuff. The example is the vice factories of the slums. I guess this is like, well, the slums are where the slumming happens. I don't fully understand this one. Factory-like is an adjective. That's kind of a weird adjective. Let's see. So that was factory. Did we do all the factory ones? We sure did. And of course, it does not say what the etymology is, but we know, because we are smart people, that the factory is where all the factors come together. And it's made up of a lot of factors that create the whole factory all together. And you're putting the factories piece by piece, like a puzzle. The next word is factory farm. Oh, this is a biggie. This is two words, noun from 1868. Way back then, they were calling them factory farms. Why? Let's read what it is. A large industrialized farm. That's the main part. But especially, this is typically how we think of it. So it's a big farm. It's industrial, so they've got, you know, lots of space and lots of machines and lots of buildings and maybe lots of silos and maybe lots of goats. So especially, this is a farm on which large numbers of livestock are raised indoors in conditions intended to maximize production at minimal cost, putting a bunch of living creatures into a space that's too small for them to live in a healthy way, both physically and mentally. And because the people who are running the farm want to spend as little money as possible and make as much money as possible. Of course, factory farming is a noun. There's been a lot of talk of factory farming. I mean, literally, clearly, since 1868, there's been talk about it. But definitely in the last 50 years, probably, there's been a lot more talk of it. Now, I wasn't born before that, so I don't know what people were saying. But definitely in my lifetime, there's been a lot of talk about factory farms and how it is unethical to treat these animals this way. You know, the list goes on of the conditions that they are in, bad conditions, not being cleaned, not being fed well, getting all these bad chemicals in their bodies, you know, chickens' beaks getting cut off so they're not pecking at the other ones. I mean, the amount of things that are done to these animals is beyond my scope. And I know more because Sharon was teaching me about this stuff. And, you know, and when I was younger, it's like, oh, yeah, factory farm, I'm just going to ignore it. Well, I can't. I can't ignore it. I can't ignore it. And I'm not the type of person to go out, you know, I'm not as much of an activist to go protest and go disrupt things like that. There's a lot of other people who are doing that, which is great. But I do not agree with these things. And I would like to think that we are having less and less factory farms in the world. I would like to think that there are laws being put in place to minimize these. But at the very least, we do have more transparency. More people are being aware of these. More people are choosing. We have terms like free range and cage free, and those don't always mean what you think they mean. In fact, do we need to do a quick check on what is the exact definition of those? This is probably a good place to talk about those, because I don't remember if we had cage-free a couple of years ago in this podcast. Cage-free means that hens are not kept in battery cages, which are small spaces that may only allow hens to share with as many as 9 other hens. They don't have enough room to turn around, stretch their wings. They can die, exposing the other chickens to diseases, etc., etc. So, you know, this one's pretty clear. They're not in a cage. Well, that could mean that they are in a still very cramped space, even though they're not in a cage. Here's a thing. What is the difference between free-range, cage-free, and pasture-raised eggs? Where is the place to go to get the real summary? Just give me the definitions. Too much to read. And I don't like reading, and I want fast information. But free-range, that's another one. Free range is probably in this this dictionary, produced by birds reared under natural conditions. Natural conditions. But what does that mean? I mean, that's kind of vague. Freedom of movement. That's good. That's huge. You know, there's probably some other things that they're not saying here that are part of the official definition of free range. But and then pasture raised. That's another big one, obviously. Let's see what the exact definition of pasture-raised. Food production model that allows animals to live a more natural, less stressful lifestyle. It goes on, but that is what I like to hear. Again, I didn't say this before, but do your research. Read up on these things. If you are somebody like myself and my wife who want to be as ethically... to treat animals as ethically as possible, then do some research on these terms and maybe choose to not eat their animal products, the meat, dairy, eggs, those sorts of things, because that is what we believe. We know that they have personalities. They feel pain. They have some sort of soul. They are alive. So many people think that they are just meat things running around, but we know, and the evidence is slowly coming out that they have personalities and they feel pain and they get scared. And ooh, it just, yeah. I think I have spoken enough about factory farm. If you want to get those things, you know, the meat and the dairy and all those things, you know, if you are able to, get it from a local farm. If you can go visit the farm, that's even better. So you can see them and see the conditions that they are in. Okay, had to get a little PSA in there for ethically treating animals right. All right, next word. Let's make a pig sound. Oink, oink. The next word is factory ship. Two words, noun from 1851. A ship equipped to process a whale or fish catch, a fish catch at sea. The ship has all the things you need to kill those fishies and those mammals. It's probably a pretty big ship. Let's make a whale sound. The next word is factotum. Factotum, noun from 1566. Number one, a person having many diverse activities or responsibilities. Because they've got lots of factors in their life. I feel like maybe I'm a bit of a factotum because I like lots of things. I have my hands in lots of different types of things, not as many as I would like, to be honest. I think it's pared down. But, you know, when I was younger, especially, yeah, I was trying to do lots of different things, which is why it was so hard to pick what I wanted to study in college. Number two is a general servant. Ooh, a general servant. Well, this servant probably had their hands in lots of things. They could do all the stuff, like a butler. If you have one butler, they are probably a factotum because they can make your food, do your laundry, maybe sew up holes, make a cocktail, just be your servant. And they're general servants, so they can just do all the stuff. They know how to do everything. Draw your bath, wash you. It'd be so strange. So this word is New Latin, and it means literally do everything. You can do everything. You're a factotum. I don't think I'm that. I cannot do everything. That is for sure. This is from the Latin fac, F-A-C, which is from facere, which means to do. So it's fac, which means to do, plus totum, T-O-T-U-M, which means everything. The totality of stuff. You can just do it all. That's what this word is, factotum. I mean, they didn't even change the letters. It's just right there. Factotum, that's a fun word. Maybe someday I'll be able to do everything. That's supposed to be kind of like a horsey. The next word is factual. You can say factual, 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 factual. I don't know, adjective. From circa 1834, number one, of or relating to facts, F-A-C-T-S, facts, yay, facts, as in a factual error. That is an error in the facts. Those facts are wrong. You screwed it up. It's factual. Number two, restricted to or based on fact, as in a factual statement. Now, how is this different from number one? The first one is of or relating to facts. The second one is restricted to facts or based on facts. Seems close enough. I don't know. Factuality is a noun. Factually, with all those various pronunciations, is an adverb. And factualness is a noun. It's just about facts. It is all about the facts, ma'am. What is another animal on a farm? I said the hee-haw. I did the cow. I did the things. I don't know. That's it. We'll do a piggy sound. A piggy sound again. No, they scream. They kind of scream sometimes, don't they? We'll just go oink oink, because that's easy. Factualism is next. Noun from 1936. Adherence or dedication to facts. Oh, I love the facts so much. I study factualism. Factualist is a noun. And we have one more word for this episode. So I'm going to say caw-caw. The last word is facture. F-A-C-T-U-R-E. Facture. Noun from the 15th century. This is the manner in which something, as a painting, is made. The way something is made, the manner in which it is made, often we are talking about a painting, I guess. The facture, I don't know this. This is from the Latin factura, which means action of making, and also from factus. So it's just, how is it made? How is the sausage made? How is this podcast made? It's just me sitting in front of a microphone and a camera and a book and a screen and lights. Camera. Action. Faction. Okay, I need to pick a word of the episode. We had factor, factorage, factor analysis, factor eight, factor group, factorization, factory farm, factory ship, factotum, factualism, and facture. Well, my runner-up, I think, is factotum, because I would like to try to do everything. No, I don't know if I do. Anyway, it's just kind of an interesting word that I did not know. But the real word of the episode, of course, will be factory farm, because I feel so strongly about them. Let's get rid of factory farms. Nobody needs to hurt all those animals and make all that money. Factory farms are really stupid. Okay, that's fine. That's great. Factory farm. Ethically treat your animals. Please, 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 please. They're people too. Let's talk about another movie that I watched, which was X. As I think I mentioned in the previous episode, this is the first of the Ty West Maxine trilogy. I don't know what we're calling this trilogy, it's a fun, different kind of horror movie. It's very adult, extremely so adult. And yeah, if you like horror movies, it's fun stuff. Okay, that's it. This is the end of the episode. Thank you very much for checking out this show, podcast, YouTube. Look at the show notes if you want to get in contact with me. There's various ways. Buy merchandise. Write a review. Join the Patreon for $1 a month. Gets you early episodes. Okay, that's it. Thank you. This has been Spencer Dispensing Information. Goodbye.